open up my mind, that you would open up my lips, Lord, and Father, that it would, the message would go out the way that you would have it to go out. Lord, that you know what? You know, no matter what's said and done here, so I praise that you get the glory this morning. I pray that. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, you know what? I pray that the Holy Spirit, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will be upon them this morning. That they could not go out of this building this morning without getting on their knees and accepting you as a personal Savior. I pray that this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. And amen. I want you to know something. When he died upon that cross, you know what? I can tell you right now, he's not there now. He's not there. They have these trips where you can go over to the Holy Land and see. And you know what? I've always wanted to go over there, but it doesn't make anything to my faith. Because you know why? I know he's not in that tomb over there no more. You know where he's at? He's right in my heart this morning. Amen? And if you are born again, Bob of the Blood Christian this morning, I want you to know something. He lives in your heart this morning. He's not on that cross. He's not in that tomb. Praise God, he lives within our heart. Amen. You know what? That statement there where it said in verse 8, he said, it is finished. What an amazing statement. What an amazing statement that was made by our Savior with his last breath from the cross. It is finished. You know what? The barbaric execution that was placed upon him, and you know what? Was summed up in three words. It is finished. It is finished. But you know what? I want to tell you something. It was the greatest word that was ever spoken. Well, preacher, did you not say that there were three words? Yes, but whenever he spoke it from the cross, do you understand what he said from the cross? He said it, and I want to tell you this word. It's called telestia, is what he said from the cross. Telestia. And you know what? It meant so much to so many different people over there. It meant so many different things. But when he said it from the cross, praise God, it meant everything to me and you. Do you understand that this morning? It meant everything to us. It was the greatest word that was ever spoken. Telestai was the greatest word that our Lord and Savior ever spoke. And you know what? Whenever he said it was finished, you know, praise God, it was spoken. Number one, it was spoken by the greatest person that ever walked on this planet. It was spoken by our Lord, the only person in heaven, the only person on earth who could pay the debt that was needed to be paid was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The only one that could ever pay that debt. I'll tell you what, when God searched through heaven and tried to find the perfect sacrifice, there was only one. There was only one. It had to be his own son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? He willingly come to this earth and took upon him the sins of mankind that you and I could have salvation in our lives. Praise God, we should shout down Medina Road. We should shout down Drift Run. We should set Sandyville on fire. Praise God. For what our Lord and Savior was willing to do for you and I. Amen? He was willing to do that. You know what? He's the only one that could say that it was finished. He's the only one. If God was to be a just God, and our God is a just God, let's understand it. He had to send the only one who was capable enough of paying the sin debt. He had to send his only, Jesus Christ, his only begotten. He did not come to set an example. Do we understand that? Jesus didn't come to set an example, but he did. Jesus didn't come to found some new great religion, but he did. He didn't come to do that or establish an earthly church, but praise God, he did. He didn't come to do any of them, though by his dying on the cross, he did all three, brothers and sisters. You know what? He came to pay the sin debts, what he came to do. He established the church. He established all those things that I said. He did. But praise God, his only goal was to come down here and pay our debt for sin. And he did that. He did it. Praise God. He fulfilled every wish. He met every requirement. He had to do it. You know what? He did all things under the circumstances that pleased God. He did them all. And he did it the only way that the Son of God knew how to do it. He did it with his best. Amen. John 8:27-29 tells us, they understood not that he spoke of them, of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak of thee. Amen. He said of these things. And in verse 1, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So when he came to the end of his earthly ministry, Tetelestai is what he said. It is finished, because he perfectly did what God wanted him to do. Amen. Tetelestai is the greatest word that was ever spoken, because it was the greatest announcement that was ever proclaimed. It was. You know what? You may ask, what about the birth of Jesus? You may ask, was that not a great announcement? Yes, it was a great announcement. Sure it was. Yes, it is. But listen to what Luke 2, 10 and 11 says. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So, preacher, how is Tetelestai greater than that announcement there? You know, the angels came. They proclaimed that a Savior was coming, because his birth, his life, his example, he set all the miracles he performed. If that's all he would have done, could have never saved one soul. Could have never done it. He had to come to this earth. He was born. Yes, he performed great miracles. And I might add, he's still performing great miracles today. He saved this old sinner boy one day from where I was at and lifted me up and set my feet upon a solid rock. I want to tell you, that was a miracle in my life. It was. He's still performing great miracles today. But you know what? Of everything he done, it would never have saved one soul. You know what? Whenever he said it was finished, he meant that he had accomplished everything God wanted to do when he died upon that cross and his precious blood was shed. I want you to know, praise God, that's what gets us saved today. Amen. The cross was a divine imperative, folks. And it was not just any cross. It took the cross that was meant for him. Amen. I tell you, I read one time that on the day that Jesus was crucified, there was over 1,000 other people crucified in the Roman Empire that same day. You know what? All of them that were crucified, you know what? That was nothing. But the one that my Lord and Savior died on, that's the one that counted. That's the one that counted. No cross, no salvation, brothers. If there had not been a cross, there would be no hope for you and I today. There had to be a cross. John 3, 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Amen. When our Lord and Savior was lifted upon that cross and he died, I tell you what, it was there for a whole world to see and look to and know beyond a shadow of a doubt. If we look to that and we hang on to that and accept him, praise God, I'll tell you what, salvation can come into our hearts. Amen? It could do that. What is he talking about, the serpent being lifted up? Over in Numbers 21. I'll just read it to you. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the souls of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Listen to me. Listen. I'll get to the rest of it here in just a minute. Let's just look at this scenario right here. God had delivered them and done what they asked for them to do. And you know what? After God had done what he was supposed to do, the people turned right around and started complaining because God wasn't taking care of them even better than what he had already did. And then after all God's done, then they did that. Now listen, it said, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loatheth this light bread. God had mightily supplied manna to them and fed them and took care of them, and yet their hearts were against God because they did not like the manna that God had given them. Does it sound like any people that you know today? Does it sound like anything in this world that we know today? I'll tell you what, I could go to a lot of different places and you can just see just exactly what I'm talking about. You know what? And the Lord set fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, then when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That's what he was trying to say about Jesus Christ. When Moses lifted up a serpent, whenever they were bit, they were saved if they looked upon it. Praise God, I want you to know something this morning. When we look upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we look at what he's done, I want you to know something this morning and accept him into your heart. Do you realize that you are a fit subject for the kingdom, and you will live forever if you do that? Amen. What does that mean to us? You know what they say? Some people say, "Well, when you go to the grave, that's it." That is not it. That is not it. Our Savior died that you and I can experience the joys of heaven for eternity. And if we do not accept him, I'm going to tell you what, you will be experiencing hell for eternity also. I'm a preacher that believes that. I believe that hell is waiting for them. Waiting for them that do not accept Jesus as their personal Savior. God could not acquit the wicked. He could not do it. He could not make it right unless a sinless substitute was brought down and given. Jesus, the Son of God, was the only one. He was the only one. Hebrews 9:29, "And almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood," listen, "without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Amen. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to make you and I clean and whole, ready for the fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. It takes the blood of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, there's some of them today that want to take the blood out of them. Shame on them. Shame on them. It's what gets us to where we need to be. Some things were purged with water. It said God, through his Son, had it all covered. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side forthwith and came there out, blood and water. That's in John 19:34. I want you to know something. You see what? God had it covered from all angles, did he not? God had it covered from all angles. Praise God, when he was dying on that cross, and he knew there was going to be people that was going to say, "You know what? You know what? What about this water that come out? It wasn't just all blood." God knew. God knew what was going to take. Amen. The problem of the world and some churches today is that they're trying to substitute something that will take the place of what Jesus did on Calvary. There's nothing that will ever be able to take the place of the sacrifice that my Lord and Savior made on Calvary. Nothing. There will never be anything. All forgiveness since Calvary is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everything since. And listen, Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by a faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You ever heard that old song? "Sin that left a crimson stain, he washed me white as snow." Amen. Did he not do that for us? Amen. The Hensons used to sing a song. "Who could take a black heart, wash it in red blood, and make it as white as snow?" There's only one, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Telestia, the greatest word ever spoken because of the scope that it covered. Amen. It was finished work. There has never been an announcement, never, that affected so many people. Amen. Never. It reaches every mortal from Adam clear up to the end of the ages. It covers us all. Whenever he said it was finished, it covered us all. Amen. Through the centuries, there's been announcements, there's been proclamations, there's been so much that has affected so many people, but never another that has touched every single person on the earth like the announcement, "It is finished," whenever Jesus Christ said it. Nothing is ever said. You see, Calvary is the center. Calvary is the center of this whole thing. Back before that, all those people back before that looked towards Jesus Christ, looked toward Calvary. All of us from Calvary on, we look back to it. That's why today we celebrate Easter. Praise God, as bloody of a mess as it is, or whatever happened on the cross, praise God, we celebrate it because it means so much to us. Amen? It does mean so much. From the other side of Calvary, faith looked forward to the Lamb who hung on the tree. Amen? They did. They looked forward to it. And from this side of Calvary, believers looked back to the blood and the Lamb which was without spot and without blemish. Amen. Amen. The one who laid down his life. The one who laid down his life that we might have eternal life. You know what? As Christians, we should be shouting the house down right now. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I'm so thankful this morning. Thankful that when back in 1974, I let Jesus Christ come into my heart. Amen. I want you to know it's never been the same. Never been the same. That old preacher up there at Mannington, that old preacher got up and he preached. And whenever he preached her, I'll tell you what, that night, they played the song, you know, I Have a Mansion Over the Hilltop. And I don't know why they played that for an altar call, but they played that. And you know what? I got up out of there and the Spirit was drawing me so bad. And I walked out of that church. I did. But I got outside and I was still being drawn. This boy walked up to me and he came up to me and said, "Would you like to be saved?" And I looked at him. I said, "Yes, I would." And I got on my knees and the Spirit of God come rushing into my heart. I want you to know that. I know. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was saved that Wednesday night in 1974 in Mannington, West Virginia, and there'll be no doubt in my mind, and I can still take you to the place today. Praise God. The one who laid down his life. The announcement was for all. John 3:16, we said it last week. Let's say it again, church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, lasting life. Does it take anybody out of the equation whenever he said that? It doesn't look like it to me, does it? It's meant for all. It's for everybody. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what color you are. That doesn't make a bit of difference. God died, sent his Son to die for all. Telestai, the greatest word ever spoken, because it announced the greatest victory that had ever been won. Amen? It was. Since the day Lucifer was cast out of heaven, you know what? He has waged ceaseless warfare against us. He's wasted against Almighty God. And everything good that God is standing for, since he was cast out, he has waged war against us. You know what? When Satan was created, he was not created to be as he is now. Do you understand that? You know that, don't you? He was called Lucifer, son of the morning. That's what he was. He was second only in power to the Trinity. You don't think he doesn't have power here on this earth? He is. He's a very powerful being. Ezekiel 28 declares that he was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, perfect in all his ways from the day he was created until iniquity was found in him. Satan was perfect. Lucifer, at one time, perhaps the chief of the archangels. Did you know that? He perhaps was. Luke 10:18 says, as Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven." And from that moment, he lost his place in God's economy. And I want you to know something. He has tried to frustrate everything good that God has tried to put upon this earth. He has tried to do that. But the moment that Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he knew it was his doom. Do you know that? Satan knew it. He tried everything in his power. He tried everything. Do you remember whenever Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and Satan tempted him? Do you remember how he tried to get him to fall? Jesus wouldn't do it. Jesus was God's only son, but yet he was also man. But he was not like us. He was perfect, brethren. Satan is still operating, but he is defeated being. Revelations 20:10 tells us, "And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." You see, hell could not stand against the word, Telestai. It is finished. Whenever Jesus said that, hell had lost its power. Whenever Jesus said that, death has lost its power, brothers and sisters. I want you to know that this morning. On the cross, two eternities met. You know that? Jesus reached out with one hand. He reached out with one hand and took all the sins from Adam up to the cross. And then on the other hand, he reached out, brothers and sisters, to you and I. He did. And he knew. He knew that, you know what? Dave Long would need a Savior one day. And I want you to know something here this morning. He knew that you would need a Savior. He knew it. And you know what? The future sins of mankind. You know what? They nailed him to that cross. And you know, Satan had lost that battle. He had lost it. Amen? Even with a resounding crash, he lost it. And he knew it. Therefore, it's not a sin question. It's a son question to you this morning. Amen? It's not a sin question anymore. It's a son. What think ye of Jesus Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's the question every one of you has to answer that's here this morning. What do you think of our Lord and Savior Jesus? Whose son is he? Who is he to you? Everybody, it's an individual thing. I want you to know something this morning, and I'm going to say this with all the love I can muster. I want you to know something. You cannot go to heaven on mommy and daddy's coattails. You cannot go to heaven on your husband or your wife's coattails. You cannot go to heaven on the preacher's coattails. It's you. It's an individual thing. You've got to know where you stand with your Lord and Savior. And if you're right with Him, and if you're not right with Him, you're going to answer to God one of these days, just like I have to answer to God one of these days. We all stand before our Lord and say, what think ye of Jesus? How individuals answer that question will determine how you spend eternity. Salvation depends upon you believing and receiving the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what salvation depends on. It does. Telestar, a word used in so many various ways in that day and age. You know what it meant to the servant? You know what? I got to looking this up, and it said, when the job was completed, the servant would say to the master, Telestai, I have completed the job you give me to do, and the master would say to the servant, well done. That's what it meant. You think all the stuff that Jesus did and tried to teach down there was just stuff he did haphazardly? It all had a meaning. It all did. When Jesus said it was finished, he was telling the Father, I have completed the task you sent me to do. I have finished it. It's done. It is complete. You know what Telestai meant to the priest? When the people would bring the sacrifice to be offered, the high priest examined it. And whenever he inspected it and found it worthy, he would say, Telestai, meaning it is perfect. Whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross and he said, Telestai, can you think of a more perfect sacrifice? He knew what he was doing. When Jesus said the perfect sacrifice had been given, amen. His sacrifice was perfect. It never needed to be repeated. Remember that every year they had to bring a sacrifice and the chief priest would have to take it back into the Holy of Holies to cover the people's sins? Guess what? Jesus Christ did it once and forever, amen. Perfect sacrifice. Amen. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. Look to him. To the artist in that day and age. Listen, when the artist would complete his work, he would step back and say, Telestai. And whenever he'd say that, the picture is completed. It is an excellent work. I'm going to tell you something. That picture of him hanging on that cross, even with the crown of thorns on his head and the blood dripping down from his head and his hands and his feet. And you know what? The world sometimes said, don't show that. That's gross. That's bloody. You know what? To us Christians, that's a beautiful picture right there. Because that means that he did that for us. Are any of you in here seen The Passion of Christ? I know some of you have watched it. I'm going to tell you what. If you watch it, that is something to behold. I mean, they really, really did a good job. But I'm telling you, they didn't want to show that no more. They said people shouldn't watch it anymore because, you know what, it shows too much blood, too much gore. I want you to know something. What do you think they did to our Savior the night that they took and nailed him to that cross? Jesus said it is finished. The perfect picture of salvation with his own blood in Revelations 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. He painted the picture so many times. He tried to paint the picture to his disciples so many times, telling them that he was the Savior. Listen, in John 10:9, he told them he was the door. Did he not say? He said, I am the door. And he told them, he said, he was the good shepherd. Over in John 10:14, he tried to tell them all this. He tried to paint a picture for them, but they understood not. John 10:6, they could not understand the picture that Jesus was trying to paint them. You know why? Because they had a different mind to what Jesus was supposed to do. At the time, a lot of the disciples thought that Jesus was going to come in and just take the Romans out. That's what they thought. They could not understand that it was something far beyond that. Praise God, I'm glad today that we can understand. I feel there were many today that do the same. Whenever we see the picture of Christ hanging on the cross, what do you think? What do you think? You know what? Do you say it's horrible? The crown of thorns, the nails through his hands and feet, the blood flowing down from his broken body. Do you think it's horrible? Or do you say, or do we look at it and see the perfect picture of salvation? Do we see that? Do we look and see that? Because that's what I see when I look at him hanging on the cross. I see that perfect picture of salvation that he painted for us. And the last one I want to talk about, the one I love the most when I go to reading this story. To the merchant, Telestai meant this, that the debt had been paid full. Do you know that they found parchments over there that have Telestai written on the bottom of them? And what they were receipts. And it's where somebody had a debt, and at the bottom of it was wrote in Telestai, paid in full. Amen. And you know what? Jesus Christ, when he cried from the cross, and it is finished, I want you to know, like it was like a little skit we did, it was paid in full for you. When Jesus said the debt was paid in full, no one else but the Lamb of God could pay it. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. It's Jesus. That's it. It's Jesus Christ. No other name. No other name under heaven whereby we can be saved is Jesus Christ. Listen, Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Acts 5:31. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness for sins. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, I'll tell you what, isn't it? I'll tell you the word of God, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ died upon that cross, when he died, he paid the debt in full for you here this morning. Listen, the Jesus that I serve, he lives. He lives. He's not on that cross anymore. He's not. He's not on the cross anymore. You know what? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. You understand that? He loves you enough that, you know what? His precious blood was spilled. When God looks down, and you know what? He looks down upon us that are saved. You know, whenever us as Christians sometimes, you know, we go out and we do things in this world sometimes that we have to get right. And you know what Jesus, God's up there looking down, and Jesus said, I died for them. That's my precious blood's been applied. And God looks down through, and that's what he sees. He sees the blood. He sees the blood. And you know what? If you're sitting back here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, please come. Please come up here. Let's get a song. Please come. And I'll tell you what. Jesus Christ will meet you at this altar. He can meet you at this altar if you come and just give it to him. Telestai. It is finished. It's a remarkable word, and I believe it's the most remarkable word our Lord and Savior ever said. Whenever he said it from the cross at his dying breath.